What is up, Knoll Nation? It's the guys from Plant the Spear back with you for another episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Michael, we got a couple of things that I want to touch on today. First off, I want to follow up on the last episode where we did a spring wrap. How are we feeling after spring camp is over? I suggest you guys go watch that. We do an honest opinion. We give an honest take on things, but I want to follow up on that a little bit. And then I also want to do a portal update. It's not quite as crazy as we thought out there. And then, of course, the headline is tomorrow night. The NFL draft gets underway. And, you know, for the first time in a while, we have reason to tune in for multiple nights, not just like, oh, where'd our guy go? One guy. Now we have a lot that are projected to go. So that it's going to be a fun time watching the NFL draft. So we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. But before we jump into things, Michael, how are you, my friend? And thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. I'm great. And yeah, we do have a lot to talk about today. And I do love the fact that NFL draft, like we can watch the first round and we could watch the seventh round. Like Usually before we were watching like round three or four and that was it, we're done. But it looks like we right now the mock drafts, and we'll get into that, have a lot of Florida State players projected. So looking forward to that. And yeah, what's going on with the portal right now, man?
I know, man. It's been crickets in the portal. And like even Florida State has had that kind of, you know, they had to wait a week from the sanctions. Right. It almost hadn't mattered because there just hasn't been a whole lot in there. But let's first jump back to the last episode. And So when we talked about Florida State wrapping up their spring, kind of the reaction to the spring game where you had the mixed reviews, you know, a lot of people were hypercritical of DJU. Even we were hypercritical of the receivers and the linebackers and some of these other positions. But what I wanted to go back and talk about here was, while we say that, yes, Florida State needs to make a few key additions to compete at a championship level, none of that was meaning that Florida State can't win as currently constructed.
Right.
And I think that's important to remember when we talk about this team going forward. Yes, there are some places that you could very much use help in the portal. Like we just talked about, portal slow doesn't mean you're going to get it.
That's right.
So, you know, assuming the portal didn't exist, could Florida State win with their current roster? Of course, I think they could. And you're still going to see some guys leave. We've had a few more that we'll touch on as well, but you have to still get under that number.
Yeah.
But I still think this team can win as currently constructed because you have a roughly, now we haven't seen the updated numbers for 2024, but you have probably one of the top three rosters in the ACC between Clemson and you and Miami. And to me, you have the best coaching staff in the ACC.
Right.
Now, I understand you can say that like Dabo won multiple national titles, but a lot of his coordinators are gone and he hasn't been able to replicate that success. And on Friday, we're going to record an episode why Norvell, I feel like, is the X factor for this program. Why you can give him whatever you want. You know what I mean? You can send him into war with a pool noodle and he'll come out, you know, he'll come out on top.
Yes.
Because I'm just a believer in it. And I have some numbers that'll back that up. But I think just based on that alone, that's why I feel like Florida State can compete where they're at. You know, they, of course, if you go get a Keon Coleman, you go get another defensive tackle or something like that, you're going to be great. You're going to feel a lot better. But again, you still have one of the best rosters. When you look at the schedule in 2024, I mean, you have Notre Dame, Miami, Clemson, and Florida, who are probably pretty close on a talent level. And when you look at Norvell's history against teams that are better than them, or worse than them. I mean, he's got a good record going either way, looking at 22 and 23. So, yeah, man, that leads into the portal talk a little bit too. Like, we said that you needed help at receiver. We said you needed help at linebacker. We also said you probably want some depth pieces at defensive tackle. Man, some of these talking heads, looking at you, Josh Pate, really hyped up this portal session. You know, they said this is going to be the Wild West, one of the craziest ones we've seen since the portal came along. That's not been the case, Michael. There's only two blue chip wide receivers in the entire portal right now, the kid from Penn State and the one from Houston. I do know that Florida State was in contact, at least I know with the Penn State kid. I think they backed off both of them so far. So not seeing a whole lot of help coming there right now. There's only three tight ends in the portal. That was a position that I said that I might would look at. There's only three of them to choose from. Six offensive tackles in the entire portal. None are blue chips. Now, this is according to the 247 database, which is where I looked. There are 12 defensive tackles in the portal. Only two of them are blue chips. So there's not a lot. And we knew coming into the portal that was going to be those positions at defensive tackle and offensive tackle were going to be very hyper-competitive positions.
Right.
So, man, you want the help, but you might not be able to find it. And that's something that we have not really experienced a whole lot in the past, where the portal has always been a fruitful tree. this is something that you kind of worried about, you know, and there's still a week. There's still a week left. So you could still see a lot of guys enter the portal in that next week. But man, it's been cricket so far.
It has been. It has been quiet, eerily. You would have thought that the moment the portal opened up, you'd see droves of names go in. And, you know, we're all kind of like kids on Christmas, like who's getting in there? Yum, 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 yum. Let's get some good portal candidates. You know, Mike, I saw somebody had tweeted out there was a graphic and it had Mike Norvell and his hands like this. And it said Portal King, you know, because once Florida State was able to recruit the portal, they were able to go in there and do that. And I thought, yeah, let's go. Let's see what Mike going to get this time. And it had literally been crickets. It's been quiet. You haven't seen, I mean, you've seen players go in, but not the caliber of players that we're used to seeing go in and Florida State going after. It's not that that doesn't mean that they're not going to go in. I mean, we still have a whole nother week before the portal closes, and they have to be in that portal before it closes, or they're kind of stuck to the next portal opening window. So I think that's going to happen, and we'll see who jumps in. Now, if none of them jump in, Jesse, if we don't get any additional portal candidates from this portal session, again, like you said, we're not saying that Florida State can't win with what they have right now. Mike Norvell and co have proven over and over again that they could win with modest players or with what they got. They will scheme, they will draw up, and they will put these players in the best position to win games. I mean, you go all the way back to 21 when they were on that 4-game losing streak and they were able to go 5-3 at the end of the season. They won games they probably had no business winning. I mean, go back to the pandemic year. They beat North Carolina, right? Then they went up to North Carolina the next year and beat them there in their place when they were ranked in the top 10. So again, and then going into 22, 10-3, they won with that group. Then going into 23, where they went 13-1, if you want to add on the Georgia thing, right? Different team. That's a whole different team.
Yeah.
They've proven that they can put players in the position to win and to get the most out of their players. So, yes, we're saying here at the Planet Spirit that if this is the roster going into the football season, they can still win. They can compete for an ACC championship, and they can compete for a playoff spot. We're not saying that they can't. We're just saying that there are areas that if they want to be elite status, if they want to guarantee themselves the highest percentage of being able to compete for an ACC and a playoff spot, they need to go improve those areas.
Right, because I think the good point that you made was it's not that there's not players in the portal. It's just the ones in there aren't the caliber we're looking for. We're kind of big game hunting. Now, maybe the receiver, you know, the Penn State kid, maybe that was one you look at. But I also think, too, it's a supply and demand thing. That's when you only have two blue chips in the portal at a certain position, I mean, the asking price, you have to imagine, is going to be through the roof. And you know, we talked about this in the last episode. I think if it's a step forward, if it's a step up, you go after it. But it's kind of cut even, I don't know that you take the risk of running another player off your roster because – again, it's like you talk about in baseball, the wins above replacement. You want to churn the roster in an upward momentum, in an upward mobility. You don't want to just kind of even swap. So I think that's important to remember too. But like we said, I mean, you look at this, you're probably going to be about even with Florida. I think you're catching them in blue chip ratio. You're probably going to be behind a little bit on Miami, Clemson, and then Notre Dame. But you know, I mean, look at what Miami, they've lost so many players. Yes. They are losing, they are bleeding blue chip players right now. And then you also have Clemson that doesn't add anything through the portal at all. And you know, we're going to get in more into that on Friday, but you look at Florida State should be, from a talent perspective, able to win eight games, kind of like a basement level, just from a talent perspective alone. But then again, like I said, you look at what Mike Norvell has been able to do going in and beating teams that have a more on paper talented roster than they do, because that, you know, stars, I feel like recruiting rankings are how you rank talent, but your performance on the field is how you determine how good a player is. And so we know they can do more with some of those non blue chip players. But yeah, I just wanted to point out that I think Florida State can still win. They can still be a 10-win team if they don't take anything. I think they can hit that feat. But we also are looking at this through there is still Clemson out there. There is still Notre Dame out there. You still have a Washington, maybe, you know, they got some change there, but a Michigan or an Ohio State or a Georgia or an Alabama, that's going to be who's waiting for you in the playoffs.
Right. That's right.
So if you have to go to war, like you said last episode, with exactly what you got right now, yeah, you could make the ACC championship. Louisville has lost a lot of the shine off of their portal class. So that, you know, that kind of levels the playing field there.
Yeah.
You could get into the playoffs with what you got. It's just going on and beating that upper echelon of teams. I think you're going to need some help in the portal. It's just, are you going to be able to find it? Because right now it's pretty slim pickings. Now, just to update on the portal, so the guys that have left so far, we already touched on Greedy Vance, committed to USC. You know, that's pretty cool. I mean, you always want to see the guys get a good shot.
Go Greedy. Yeah.
Right. That's a cool spot. I don't know if I'd have picked that as a defensive player, but, you know, I know they got rid of the coordinator that they don't really like, so maybe he can help them out there. And I think Greedy's a good player. I think he'll do well out there.
Can't get any worse, and Greedy's better than what they've had before. So
exactly. And so Jaden Floyd has made his way out. Of course, Joshua Burrell was out. And then, of course, you saw Vandrevious Jacobs hit the portal. Which,
that's right.
Man, that was a disappointing one because I think you had, like, a bright future out of the kid, but I think there was just some things that you heard, like, off the field trying to get right and just kind of inconsistent, you know, performances that he just is going to get recruited over. You bring in so many blue chips as freshmen, and you bring in the Jaylen Brown, the redshirt freshman from LSU. I think it's just kind of a recruited over. But that one, I think, maybe the one that you wish you could have kept just because of the future prospects of it. But they got so many receivers right now that I think you'll be fine.
Well, you know, I think with Vantarius Jacob, I think with Jacobs, the issue is you can show up on campus with all the talent in the world, right? Yeah. And blow people away. But in Mike Norvell's version of Florida State, talent alone doesn't get you on the field. It's talent, it's commitment to the work, it's character, it's doing, as he says, right? Doing the right thing on the field and off the field. Yep. And if you do the right thing on the field, but you're not doing the right thing off the field, he doesn't care. He will recruit over you.
Right.
And it's unfortunate because you saw flashes of Jacob. My goodness. You know, I'm thinking of last season, there was a game. I can't remember what game it was, but he caught a ball across the field, and it was just like he wanted to catch that ball. Was it the Pitt game? I think it was.
I think it was Southern Miss.
Maybe.
I think it was.
Or Southern Miss. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Southern
Miss. He caught a ball, and my goodness, you're just like, oh, that kid's going to, you know, and it's unfortunate that didn't work out here. So you're bummed about that. You're bummed about Greedy Vance because you love Greedy and what he gave to this program, but you're glad for him. Look, I used to live out in California, used to go to USC games all the time. So, you know, I'll watch them and, you know, fight on a little bit there. Go ahead, Greedy. Cheer for you, brother. And then, of course, with Josh Burrell, who gave everything he had, you know, he just got recruited over, as well as Jaden Floyd. Same thing, just got recruited over. And Floyd is a legacy recruit. So my hope is that they go find a great spot for them where they can go and get some decent playing time and show what they got. But, you know, what's interesting, Jesse, about all this is that Florida State is still over the scholarship limits. And yet it's been eerily quiet from the portal outside and eerily quiet from the portal from Florida State as well. You know, more players are going to have to get in soon. So you're just wondering how those conversations are going. What are they waiting on? Are they seeing that what the market's doing? Like it's real interesting.
I think that is a good point too. And of course, David Stickle did enter the portal as well. That's an offensive lineman, but he was a walk-on in the past. I don't know that it helps your scholarship count there. But that's a good point, man. I think maybe you want to see what you can go get before you start telling guys to maybe take it on down the road because you might end up needing them. But I also think that is a good point, man, is when you talk about Louisville has lost a lot of their transfers. When you talk about Miami, it is bleeding a lot of blue chip players. You know, they've lost two of their good running backs. They've lost their backup quarterback. They've lost some receivers. I think what Florida State has done so far, obviously they haven't went and got anybody in the spring portal session. But so far, you're kind of keeping everything together. You're keeping everything in the house. And I think that's important, too, because sometimes it's not so much about what you gain. It's about what you stop from leaving the program when you have gotten the roster to probably the best roster Mike Norvell has had since he's been at Florida State. So as equally important as it is to go get things, get players and pieces, you need to keep what you got. And so that's going to be important as well. Now, a couple of targets to cover here as we round out the portal update is obviously, like we talked about, they did get in contact with the kid from Houston and Penn State, but reports have been that they are no longer actively pursuing them. A defensive tackle name to look at here is Derek Harmon from Michigan State. man, if you could get this guy, this would be, I would love this addition. 4-star, 6'5", 320. Now, the rumor is he's making top D tackle money in the state, and you have a, you know, reigning national champion there as well. So knowing how competitive that defensive tackle position is, it might be a hard pull.
Yeah.
But I think that's the top guy right there that you're going to hone in on. You're going to make that phone call, you know, 100% of the time. The other name to know is a kind of a hybrid guy, a defensive end. He's kind of a tweener as far as a defensive end, defensive tackle. And that's Jared Harrison Hunt out of Miami. You know, crossing enemy lines there. But obviously, we're happy to have Daryl Jackson. 6'4", 285, started 22 games in 5 seasons. Now, what I find funny about this and why I think you have a good chance here is he said in kind of his interview why he was looking for somewhere else is he wanted to go somewhere that could develop him for the NFL. That's what he's this late in his career. That's what he's really looking for. So, you know, that's a little shot there down at the staff in Morrill Gables. And I think really when you look at it, especially as we're getting ready to talk about the NFL draft, I mean, again, man, I started looking at some numbers from Florida State and their defensive end history. Like if Jared Verse can go first round, like you had in the past with Brian Burns and Jermaine Johnson and all these guys. And it's like, man, if you're a defensive end and you're trying to go to the league, I mean, why are you not at Florida State? You know, it's a pipeline. They have put so many defensive ends in there. So those are two names to watch. You know, with Harrison Hunt, I think that's kind of what we talked about, where it's a guy that, you know, maybe that not elite level, but can give you that solid experience, depth piece. He might even allow you to let Durajaye move back more to his natural position
at the
defensive end, but they're kind of about the same size at that 6'4", 280, 285 range. But, you know, if you're just looking for an experienced guy, knowing how quiet it has been, I think you at least make that phone call and you reach out and see if there's interest.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what's interesting is, you know, several years ago, if we were doing this, we would say, you know, man, I wonder, you know, what the talking point's going to be, how they're going to get him, recruit him. Now I can literally legit sit here and say to you, Jesse, well, if the money's right, he'll come, right? Isn't that just weird that we can say crazy, that now? Man. It's weird, but that's the truth. If the money's right, he will come. And it's just, are we willing to pay for what will likely be a second stringer? Like that's I don't imagine that unless another person comes into the fold, I don't imagine that this is a guy we're looking at starter. So we're not going to pay starter money for him. Right. So is he willing to come and be a rotational piece? That'll be a part of it. How much a rotational piece is he willing to take on money wise? I think that'll be it. But I will, in the words of Jalen Ramsey, if you're a recruit and you isn't going to Florida State, what is you doing? If you're trying to get to the NFL, what is you doing? I mean, I know we're going to talk about the draft, but I mean, there's a high chance that 5+, and the number really is probably 9, according to mock drafts, are going to be drafted from Florida State this year.
Yeah.
Like, and what is you doing?
Right. And I think when you look at Harrison Hunt, he's not the starter at Miami. So he's going to, maybe you go a different route to get to that starter reps, or maybe you just, you go to a program and be a backup at a program that has put a lot of defensive ends in the NFL. And of course, Miami has put defensive linemen in the NFL too, but not so much in recent years like Florida State has from the defensive end position. But it's just a guy, you know, again, that's experienced. He's a Power 5 player. It's his last year, so he's going to be looking for that development. So that's two of the names that we've heard. If you're going to go after the Michigan State kid, that's one you're probably going to have to pony up some cash for. You're going to have to back up the Brinks truck to get him. Right. Yeah. So maybe, you know, it's just like you said, man, it's crazy like how you have to kind of weigh all that into the financial aspects of the decision. It's nuts, man. But speaking, you know, of the NFL, we'll transition in. We're basically talking about NFL light now. We'll get to the NFL. But first, Michael, you know, you can, no matter what you have to do with the portal, you know who's going to stick by you the whole time with some awesome FSU gear? That's Alumni Hall FSU.
Let's go.
And you can get 10% off on awesome FSU gear by using code SPEAR online or in store. So, guys, go load up for springtime. Get you some new stuff before the season arrives. 1415 Timberlane Road in Tallahassee, alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page and use code SPEAR to save. So we appreciate you guys for supporting those that support us. Now, tomorrow night, Michael, it kicks off. I'm excited.
Let's go.
The draft coming out of Detroit. I'm excited to watch it now. You know, like we said, man, the last few years has kind of been like, let me just check that Twitter update or the ESPN notification or whatever and like, oh, there's our guy. That's where he went. But it's loaded this year, man.
Yeah.
And like you said, you're looking at probably around 8 to 10 possibly more guys that are going to, that are going to get taken. And that's really, really exciting from a fan perspective. It's really, really exciting from a program perspective. Yes. I think it's going to give a feather in the cap to Mike Norvell and the staff. When you talk about recruiting, even from a portal and high school level, this is kind of like the one little piece that they've been missing as far as like what they have to sell, as far as their package. You've got the success on the field. You know, you've seen what you can do with transfers and all that stuff. You've done all that. But now it's, can they go in like an Alabama or someone like that and say, look, we're a pipeline to the league. And I think if you put 10 guys in the league, man, that's going to be huge for recruiting. And I'll kick it to you on this, but I even told somebody on another podcast that when I was talking about this, you know, they asked me about the Orange Bowl and stuff like that. And I was like, there was a lot of these guys who were in line to be drafted that were dealing with injuries. Fisk was one of those guys. You know, a lot of these guys, the receivers, Keon Coleman, Jaheim Bell, we know they were all beat up at the end of the season.
That's right.
It wouldn't almost surprise me if Mike Norvell was like, look, man, if you're not 100%, you just take it on down the road and get ready for the draft. Because I'll be honest, man. Like, I know we like to joke around and ignore that Orange Bowl. Look, we probably weren't beating Georgia without Jordan Travis. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, what would have been better? You know, losing to Georgia by less points, or putting 10 guys in the NFL because they were able to go have that big combine day. They were able to get healthy for workouts for these teams in their pro day. Because to me, I think putting 10 guys in the NFL versus, you know, losing to Georgia by 20 points or whatever, or 20 points less or whatever. It was a lot of points. We're not even going to bring that up. I think that might be as good for your program. You know, I think that might be as good as a selling point in recruiting than winning a meaningless bowl game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about it, you know, first year, Mike Norvell comes, you have Jermaine Johnson that gets drafted. It's a big deal, right? He goes in the first round. Then the next year you have Jamie Robinson that gets drafted, right? And so it's a big deal, right? It's big, but it's only been one, right?
Right.
And so everybody said, oh, that's inherited. He can't develop. It's already whatever. He only went. Well, now this year we literally have, like you said, 8 to 10 players possibly to be drafted. And we have a surefire first round. I mean, I'm going to call it. I think Jared Verse should be a first rounder.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
for sure. Right. I think the mock draft, I saw him. He's slotted for the around that 19th pick to the Rams, which go Rams, baby.
Right.
Let's see. I would love that to happen. Yeah. And then you got Coleman and Fisk, who are looking like probably round two grades area there.
Yeah. We're going to go through kind of all of them and where they're projected. But no, I agree, man. I think it's huge. And I think when you tie it directly to the success of the program, it tells a story. And so when you look at, and I went back and looked at some numbers from 18 to 23. So you have to go a year in advance on your seasons. That's 17 to 22.
Right.
Florida State had 9 players taken over 5 years. The record was 30 and 30 over that same amount of time. So when you look at from 2008 to 2012, leading up into the national championship year, they had 14 players taken over 5 years. The record was 42 and 24. So then you look at 2013 to 2015, just three years, they had 29 players taken in the NFL draft. And the record goes along with that. It was 39 and 3.
Yep.
So now again, you take I mean, half the guys who were drafted weren't playing, so we'll say they were 13-0. I mean, honestly, you can't count a loss against half of them.
I'm just saying, yes.
Right. So, if you're looking at a team that was roughly 13-0, and now you're going to put 10 guys in there, you can see this is what you want, man. I know it sucks to lose all those guys going into the next year, but if it means that is showing that you're elevating that talent level to now you're having double-digit guys being drafted and your record is following along with it, this is what you want to see.
That's right.
And so now them putting this many players in, man, I think you go into a high school recruit's home and you're going to say, look, we got guys to the portal. To the NFL. You go into a portal guy's house and say, hey, look, we got all these transfers that are going to the NFL. And you touched on it, man. People will say that they can't develop because a lot of these guys are transfers. But again, man, Trey Benson come in off a knee surgery, a major knee injury, hadn't really had anything going on there. You know, I mean,
Johnny Wilson was literally forgotten about at Arizona State.
Right. A lot of these guys were not draft ready when they came. They weren't going to get drafted. So they got developed at Florida State.
Yep.
And you do look at what he did at Memphis. Now, that's obviously a whole different situation from Florida State, but they still put a couple guys per year in the league. So Mike Norvell has that history. But so, yeah, man, let's go through each player and kind of where they're projected here. I'll be honest. I'm telling myself a little bit, Michael. I'm not a big NFL guy. I see you got the Rams gear in the background there, so I know you have a favorite team. You know, I like my wife is a Patriots fan, so I kind of like that by proxy. I know it's gonna get a lot of boos. Everybody hates the Patriots. Hey, man, I'm excited to see what they do now. Now, like to be fair, I think I own like two pieces of Patriots clothing, so like. I'll cut you over Florida State.
That's right.
But, you know, it is what it is.
I might push you over the Patriots.
Exactly. I might use a strong tone over the Patriots.
There you go.
But I'm excited to see what they do in the draft on a side note, because now they don't have Belichick. It was not so much whether we always asked, like, who are they going to draft? It was if.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like, oh, here comes the second round draft pick. And they traded it for a seventh round pick to draft a kicker out of Tallahassee Community College or something. It's like, what are we doing here? So, like, it will be interesting to see how it goes, man. But I think it always is, like, people want to see the players that they love go to their favorite teams. And that's really right. where I sit with the NFL. Like, I have teams I don't really like, you know. I think the Jets are kind of like Miami, you know, the Hurricanes. Like, unless you're a fan of them, like, no one really likes them. I think so. I'm not a big
Jets fan. They never win, so, you know.
Right. So, like, I don't really want to see my guys go there. But I kind of follow where, like, I like Jameis, you know, following him from the Saints to the Bucks and all that stuff. But, yeah, man, I mean, like, maybe I'm looking for a new team. And I think one of my stipulations is going to be a dome.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've been to one Patriots game in my lifetime. And it was the last regular season game of the year. The coldest. I picked a great one. The coldest game in New England Patriots regular season history. It was -2 with wind chill.
My gosh.
Bro, I have Southern blood, and I brought my clothes from down south. So I thought I was going to die. It was like, Doak can be tough in the summer, you know, sometimes when it's like a season opener in September.
Yep.
That was on a whole nother level. That was painful. I thought I was going to die.
I just don't think it's like, this is why when I lived in Indianapolis, that's what I loved about the Colts game, is that they always played in the dome in Lucas Oil, right? It was so nice. It was air conditioning for the summer. It was warm for the winter when the winter would come around. For those people who go to Lambeau, who go to New England and to those games,
the Bills,
like,
man.
The Bills, geez. When they're like throwing snow at each other during the games, I'm like, no, that is not football. I'm sorry. That is not. I do not like that. So God bless you for staying through that, man. You're one of a kind.
It looks cool. Like I always said, I was kind of disappointed it didn't snow more, just so I could say I've been through it. But man, after that experience, like, I had hot hands put in places I don't even want to talk about. But I will say too, like, going to the FSU versus LSU in the Superdome. Oh man, that was spoiled. I could get used to it. Every new stadium should be a dome. Like, air conditioning at a football game in the South in September is an absolute godsend. So, you know, let's jump into it. So we know that you like the Rams. We'll see. For me, I think what killed me was I grew up north of Jacksonville, so we had the Jaguars.
Yeah, the Jags. Yeah,
you really kind of show up to see the other team now. Like, now I'm 45 minutes from Panther Stadium, and they're garbage too. So, like, you kind of like, now they got rid of Brian Burns, I literally have like no reason to watch.
Yeah,
you know, maybe Jamie Robinson, but like, hopefully they can get some guys. You know, at least. You go for the other team, but it's cool to experience. I think you get the NFL stadium experience, which I think is also one of those reasons why I'm excited to see how Doak turns out.
Yeah,
because you see those NFL amenities, and that is really nice. But jumping into the draft, man, the first one, like you talked about, Jared Verse, looks all projections. I looked at NFL.com and PFF, Pro Football Focus.
Gotcha.
Both of them have him in that first round. Like you mentioned, around 16 to 23 is what I got, either like the Eagles or the Vikings. Maybe to the Rams, like you said.
Please.
man, that would be probably better than the Eagles and the Vikings. You know, I think going out to California would be a pretty cool place to play. But yeah, man, I'm looking for Verse to kind of take the torch, you know, from all the other first round defensive ends we had, and then hopefully he passes that to Marvin Jones Jr. going into next year.
That'd be nice. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Jared Verse, like, I mean, he was, when he got to Florida State, you saw it. You were like, how is this guy at New Albany? Like, what in the world? And then his first year, I mean, he just, he dominated. He dominated his first year. You know, last year he had dominating stretches, but obviously now that teams knew who he was and what he was about, they, you know, shaded the line to him, which allowed, you know, Pat Payton and all those other guys to eat. Which also helped free up Braden Frisk, which is one of the players we didn't even talk about in the development part of this episode.
Right.
Mike Norvell, this guy was a nobody on nobody's radar. And then when he got in the portal, some schools came after him, but Mike Norvell and that staff was on him early, which is why he came to Florida State. And look what he You turned into one of the most dominant defensive tackles in the country this past year. Yeah. And so, that was another benefit of having a Jared Verse. Like, a Jared Verse changes your defensive line room. Yep. And so whoever is lucky enough to be able to draft him, please Rams, please do the right thing. If right. if he falls to you at 19, whoever's lucky enough to get him, they're getting a great character, a room changer, a defensive line changer, and a havoc wrecker.
Yeah, and I'm not a real big NFL guy. I know you can have some years that are, really loaded and some that are really not. Man, when you look at some of these, you're looking at, I think I saw guys like Xavier Thomas and stuff like that, that are fifth and sixth round. I mean, this is a really loaded draft class, I feel like. So, there's going to be a lot of competition when you see some of these guys maybe go a little bit farther down. And I know all this depends on salary cap and needs and what the team needs. And so, that's why I let the professionals handle it. we focus on FSU, but getting to Braden Fisk, this guy won the combine. He won the postseason. Yes. The ACC championship game, just really elevated his draft stock. So far, what I'm seeing looks like NFL.com has him round two, pick 48 to the Jags. See you go to the Jags, but PFF has him round two, pick 54 to the Falcons. I don't know that's a whole lot better, but maybe better than the Jags. But yeah, man, I think it would be cool to see him kind of stay in that southern region so you can get FSU fans to be able to watch him. But man, I think Fisk is going to have a really just a great NFL career. I think he's going to prove a lot of guys wrong. And I think what you saw from him late in the season, man, he's just a hard working guy. And I think he's going to go out there and have a very successful NFL career. And, again, he's like you said, he was good at Western Michigan. He had production. He had to go prove it. But he wasn't a second round draft pick.
Correct.
And not so from his hard work and the time with Josh Storms and Odell and this defensive staff, he's turned himself into a second round pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been following the four letter word network mock draft. They have Braden Fisk going at 55 to the Dolphins in the second round, which would feel a major need for the Dolphins. They are desperate at the D tackle spot. And so he could quickly see playing time. That's what I think is a lot of these guys, when they get drafted that high, the ownership, the people who invest the money, they want to see these higher draft picks get in early and see that.
Right.
And so Braden Fisk might have an opportunity wherever he's at. He's probably going to be a second round unless a team in the first round takes a flyer at him, which would be phenomenal. We'd have potentially two first round draft picks, but definitely that second round grade, man. He has dominated the NFL combine. You saw the 40, you saw the squats, you saw the breath. Bench press. The dude was just killing it, and all the scouts, they're raving about him. And they're now just seeing what we've been seeing all season. The dude basically won him and Jared Verse basically won FSU the ACC championship game. So I'm excited for that man. And, he'll always, even though he came from Western Michigan, and like you said, he had production there, but, no one watched Western Michigan. And so he had to come prove it at the power four level, power five level. And he did. He blew everybody away. And so I think he's going to have a great career.
Right. Really, his only knock is kind of some of the measurables. Yeah. But at the same time, man, the way he plays and how hard he plays, and I think it's a lot of the guy you're getting too, behind the face mask that works hard. You don't have to worry about him off the field. You don't have to worry about all this trouble. So I'm excited to see where it goes. Man, he really turned into one of my favorite FSU players. Like Jermaine Johnson, man, it took him one season to become one of my all-time favorites. And I really think Braden Fisk has been one of those guys too. Man, I don't know about I'm not a big fan of anything coming out of Miami. So, and as a Patriots fan, I use that term loosely, but as a Patriots, a guy that cheers for the Patriots on occasion, the Dolphins are really kind of their thorn in the side. Maybe wouldn't be my first pick there, but at least he stays in state. So that's pretty cool.
Be nice. Yeah.
Up next, Trey Benson. I've seen so far with NFL.com had him round three, pick 71 to the Cardinals. PFF had round three, pick 99 to the Colts. Those are the two that I saw. So I think really with Trey Benson, I think that it's important to know that he's going in the third round in a time that we've talked about this before, where running backs have been treated kind of like a lesser valuable property in the NFL. Like they are kind of a dozen. And so to see him still go round three, knowing that he split carries in both of his seasons at Florida State. He came off that, you know, that big knee injury. To see him still work his way into a potentially top 100 pick is huge, man. And I'm really excited to see him get an opportunity either with, you know, whoever he goes with, but it looks like maybe the Cardinals or the Colts in round three.
Yeah, man. I mean, Trey Benson, you know, had a great combine and obviously a great season with Florida State. But like you said, running backs is that it's just that position where it's just like they're not putting in the NFL scouts and GMs. They're not putting as much equity as they used to be.
Right.
You used to see them taken in the top level of the draft. Now they're falling, you know, lower and lower in the first round, you know, in ESPN's draft board, the guy that did this, he has Trey Benson as his top draft running back on the board. His top running back. Okay. He has Trey Benson as his top running back, his number one running back on the board, but doesn't have him coming off the board until the third round at 69 to the Chargers, which would be a reunion with Asante Samuel Jr. Right. Right. And so that just tells you just kind of where running backs are being viewed in the NFL's GMs and these scouts' eyes. You know, they're almost like a penny. Like you can find a penny anywhere you want to.
Yeah.
But that's where they're kind of looking at running backs. But man, Trey Benson, I mean, gosh, you saw what he could do when he had a good offensive line in front of him. He's got breakaway speed, he's got power, he's got shiftiness. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. And so he's going to have if he stays healthy, he's going to have a decent career.
Agreed. I think he has the size to be, you know, durable in the league. And I'm looking because, you know, what you were talking about a second ago about him being the first one off the board. Yeah, man, I'm looking at PFF right now just to see. And their very first running back isn't till the 56th pick in the second round. And right now he's the only one listed in the first two rounds. So I think, again, when you look at maybe it's not the strongest year for running backs, but I think, like we said, in the modern era of the NFL, to see him still be projected at round three, I think is big for him. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, when you know, we hear the phrase term or the term used a lot in college football, money year. This is
money year.
You know, it's on the line. You want to go to the NFL. You got to play your way in. And I think, you know, we talk about Braden Fisk. I don't know that anybody had a better money year than Jerrion Jones.
Ooh-wee.
You know, he was a very mixed review player back in the, you know, couple of seasons before last year. But last year, he really played his way into a third round draft pick is what he's being projected as high as second in some of the mock drafts. He had a good combine. So NFL.com has him at round three, pick 75 to the Colts. PFF has him all the way up at round two, round two, to the Bengals. So maybe that was round three, pick 97. So either way, man, I mean, this is another guy that's going in your round three. And so I think Jerrion Jones, it's really good to see him finish his career really strong on a high note and get his opportunity in the league, because that's really, man, I think at the end of the day, we have to remember that these are these kids' dreams. You know, this is the opportunity for them to make life-changing money. And I saw a thing on the internet the other day. I should have saved it. It was something that kind of broke down where you had, I think it was somewhere in the range of like a little over a million high school football players. And I think like 1.5% actually make it to the NFL, and the average career is only 3 years. So what it says to have 10 guys drafted, you know, or potentially 10 guys drafted, and to see them be able to play their way into pursuing their dreams as a high draft pick, man, that's just super impressive. And I'm so happy to see Jerrion Jones hopefully get his opportunity to go in one of the first three rounds.
Man, no, absolutely. Listen, you got to love Jerrion Jones, because this is a guy who stuck it out when Mike Norvell and them got here. He could have left. He could have been like, no. But, man, Mike Norvell will tell you, he loves Jerrion Jones. Like they talk about like their father, son, brother, and brother, like just the love and camaraderie that they have between each other, and just how much he has grown, not as just a man, but as a player. You saw the improvement year after year. I mean, he made some crucial plays against Miami in that game at Doe Campbell this season. And so over and over again, you hear his name being called. And so how he has grown, I mean, he did a great job at the combine. Now, ESPN has him projected at 157, so in the fifth round, going to the Minnesota Vikings. So that's a little that's a little tricky.
We don't like ESPN.
That's
anyway.
Right. That's so right. We don't.
We're going to toss them like they tossed us. I'm sorry. I had to dunk on us there. I didn't mean to dunk on ourselves.
It.
But
I like
you know,
it.
Like, what's that? I play myself. But
I play myself.
I play myself. We're going to throw them on out of there. So the next guy is a guy that you knew was going to get picked based on his measurables, and that's Johnny Wilson. I mean, they just don't make someone who's 6'7" and has his athletic ability. So, you know, there's some things there with the drops and stuff like that, that I know people are concerned about. But again, man, you look at like Anthony Richardson. He went, you know, in the first round based off what NFL teams think that he can be. It's not that's a lot of time they're taking you off what you did in college. Did you produce and what can we turn you into? And I think when you look at Johnny Wilson with his size and his athletic ability, I think somebody's going to take a chance on him because you just don't find that every day. So NFL.com has him around round 3, pick 82 to the Colts. PFF has him round 3, pick 93 to the Ravens. So that, you know, that would be pretty interesting there. You may get a dome. You may get to play with Lamar Jackson. So that could be two exciting picks there. But man, I'm excited to see Johnny get his chance. And I hope he does well in the NFL. You know, I hope he's able to take advantage of that size and the athletic skill set and, you know, go earn himself a nice long career in the league.
Yeah. I mean, to think about where Johnny came from, you know, where he was basically almost forgotten about at Arizona State.
Yep.
You know, to a player who came in and basically helped Florida State go 10-3. And yes, he had some drops in there, and then only to decide to come back, right? To run it back again, as the kids say. And to help Florida State go 13-1, you know, and make some impressive catches throughout the season. He was a huge, huge part of the Duke game, the Miami game, LSU game early on before Keon Coleman took over. I mean, you just go through it, through the crucial catches against Clemson. And so he really changed his trajectory. I mean, he was a guy that definitely was not going to get drafted, not even be considered, just maybe because of his size.
He said that when he entered the portal, he didn't even know that anybody was going to have any interest in him.
Exactly. You
know? And I think he also opened up a lot of the other receivers in your offense,
whether
it be Pokey Wilson in 22 or Keon Coleman. You know, he played. He was, if nothing else, a big-time distraction because you had to pay attention to him because he was a cheat code in one-on-one. You could not cover him one-on-one.
Correct, because you had to shade. You had to shade the safety over. I mean, sorry. Just think about this. Do we win that game against Oklahoma in the Cheez-It Bowl if Jordan doesn't make that throw to him down the sideline? There's no safety help. It's literally one-on-one. We don't win that game without that catch, right? And so that was how much he affected a defense. And so to see him now have the ability to go live out his dream, be an NFL draft pick, make a roster, and show them why, you know, he could be a great, decent to good player. Man, I'm so excited for him. The things that you were looking at have him in that, would you say, second and third?
Third round 82nd or third round 93rd.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah, ESPN, we don't like them. They have him at 136 going to the Denver Broncos in the fifth round.
Yeah, that's a terrible pick. So let's just, you know, again, let's just throw that one out. But no, man, I'm happy for Johnny. I want to see him go on and do well. I mean, like you said, he was crucial over 200 yards, 202 yards in that Oklahoma game. And, you know, had the catch where he just was like, gave the guy the old get off me shove and just kind of threw him to the side. So that was fun. But yeah, man, excited for him. And then staying at the receiver position, Keon Coleman was one that I kind of saw around the next level there. You know, again, obviously, that's the crazy thing. You're looking at one, and I'm looking at two different ones, and they're wildly different. So you just you really never know where guys are going to go. But Keon Coleman on NFL.com is round 3, pick 84 to the Steelers, and then PFF has him at round 2, pick 51 to the Patriots. So, like, hey, if you're watching this, guys, I don't even know the new coach's name to even tell him to draft him. I know it's not Belichick anymore, but you know, hey man, that would be really awesome. Let's actually get a guy who has the last name that we recognize. But man, I'm excited for Keon. I obviously, you know, the disappointing part of it was the injuries, kind of being banged up late in the season. Yeah. You know, the 40 time didn't do him any favors, but it's still the functional speed. You saw the gauntlet drill; he had the fastest mile per hour there. He's a functional speed, so. Man, I think if he goes all the way down to that round 3 kind of area, I think he's going to be a steal. I mean, I think it's just, you know, some guys don't test well and they still perform well. So I think Keon Coleman will be a little bit of a steal just from what happened late in the season and stuff like that. But I'm still excited to see him get his chance and, you know, maybe it gives him a little chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, I think the Patriots head coach, Jared Mayo, I think he's looking.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it. He'll look at because ESPN has him going at 34 to the Patriots as well, too. You know, he'll look at Coleman and think, man, yeah, he may not test well, but gosh, just look at the plays this kid can make. I mean, this looks like a dynamic wide receiver, a game changer who's going to go up and get you balls, right? He's going to go up and fight for those balls. He's going to go across the middle. He's going to make defenders who are not as strong pay really well, right? He's going to run block for you. He was a really good run blocker when he was engaged in the game. Yes, the injuries, you know, the injury bug, you know, hampered some of his performance late, but those are few and far between. You saw what he did at Michigan State, right? He was their best wide receiver. He had over 1,000 yards. He would have had more had our quarterback not got hurt, had he not got injured, right?
Yeah.
And so at Florida State. And so I think, you know, whoever gets Keon Coleman is the steal. If he drops to that third round, man, that team is going to be so grateful. I'm not going to lie, and you know I'm a praying man. I'm praying him far away from the Patriots because I don't want to hate him. I don't want to hate him.
That's fair. That's fair. It's fine. You know they're going to trade the pick for a long snapper in the seventh round anyway. It's in like a 2028 17th round pick or something like that. But yeah, man, I think you just look at the Clemson catch, the crucial one in overtime. You look at the LSU game. You look at those moments, and that's kind of what you're going for. But hey, I mean, Patriots fan or not, whether I like them, love them, or just kind of pay attention to them, they need help. So, you know, they need some help regardless. The next up that I saw was Renardo Green. Now, again, man, I'm excited to see Renardo because this is one of those homegrown guys. You know, you talk a lot about how it's heavy with transfers, this class, and things like that. But, man, I think when you look at Renardo, this is a guy, again, he's homegrown. He gives you that opportunity to say, look, we develop transfers. Okay, that's fine. But we also can develop the homegrown guys. And he was another guy that had a really, really big year in his final year, which last year, or 22, he was really good too. But so the way NFL.com has him is round 4, pick 119 to the Steelers. And PFF has him a little higher, round 3, pick 77 to the Raiders. So, you know, that's pretty cool. Get to go out west, you know, maybe to the Steelers. I'm not a big Steelers fan either, man. Their fan base is just with the terrible towels and stuff like that, man. They're a Pittsburgh fan. They're like Cowboy fans. They're just everywhere. Like, why are you here? You know what I mean? Like, everybody.
Why do you live in Pittsburgh?
Right. Like, well, outside of that. Yeah, exactly. Like, why are you in Charlotte or whatever? Like, what are you doing? So maybe don't go there, but man, I think Renardo is going to have a good opportunity to go out and prove himself. And this is a guy that he really did go out and earn it. And so I'm excited to see him get an opportunity.
I mean, let's just talk about this for a second. This kid, Renardo Green, 2 years ago, you didn't hear a thing about him, right? Not a thing. And then literally over the last 2 years, he's become a lockdown. And I use that word. I don't use that word very often. I use it very sparingly. That dude, that bro became a lockdown corner. I mean, just incredible. Like, you just knew, stick Renardo Green on him and the receiver is not going to have a great day. I'm not saying he's going to prevent the guy from catching balls, but he's just not going to have a great day. And you go look at his PFF grade, you go look at his stats and what the quarterback's completion percentage was against him. I mean, it is far and beyond incredible what this kid did. I mean, you knew one half of the field, take away, because Renardo Green's on that side. And so for him to get into the NFL, hopefully get drafted, I would love for him to go to the Raiders. So I'm not a Raider hater. I like the Raiders. They play in the Death Star. I play NFL Madden on PlayStation 5, and I love right now I'm doing a dynasty mode with the Raiders. I've won 4 straight Super Bowls, by the way, because I'm awesome like that. But I would love it, because what I'll do is I'll refresh and download the new roster, and I'll play with the Florida State guy. I have Renardo Green in my defensive backfield. I'll start him from day one, Renardo Green. So hopefully the Raiders will pick you up. But no, I think he'd be a great addition to the Raiders. They're looking for DB help. They need it desperately. And this is an opportunity where you could literally see him start year one, because that's how desperate they are for defensive back help.
Yeah, man. I think, like, I'm waiting for the NCAA 25 game to come out, you know, and I hope they don't run it on basically just like a reskin Madden. I hope that's not the case. I've never been a big Madden guy. I love the NCAA games. But yeah, man, that would be really cool. Like, the Raiders are kind of a fun team. You know what I mean? Yeah. I hate that they moved out of Oakland and lost touch with their fan base, but I get why they went to Vegas. But yeah, man, I think it'll be exciting to see him get that opportunity. And then another guy that unfortunately, we know was a little bit hampered with injury that kind of cost him a little bit. But at the same time, when you look at it from a tight end perspective, he doesn't his the measurables kill Jaheim Bell. I mean that's what because he's not a traditional tight end; he's a hybrid guy. So I think he does have a place where you can use him, you know, in different packages, obviously, and hopefully with him getting healthy, that will help him, you know, with workouts and stuff with the other teams. But so NFL.com has him around round 5, 168 to the Saints. And then, which I think would be a cool fit for him. And then PFF has him at round 4, pick 130 to the Browns. You know, maybe. Like, if you're a Browns fan, I'm sorry, maybe. But, I mean, if you're talking about New Orleans versus Cleveland, I'm picking New Orleans every time. But, man, again, Jaheim Bell, this is a guy that I'm excited to see get an opportunity. And I think he can, you know, you look at the way that New Orleans has had some different players that they've used in different packages, the way they use like Kamara, the way they use, you know, the backup quarterback, the Taysom Hill and stuff like that, the way they get creative to use different players, man, I think Jaheim Bell would, he's going to be able to make an impact, you know, like we said, the measurables hurt him a little bit, but I think if you give him an opportunity, they'll find a way to use him.
Oh yeah, they will. They'll find, I mean, he was such a, just an incredible player early on. I mean, you saw in that LSU game, like, you're like, holy cow. Yeah. They have unlocked, like, a natural cheat code in Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson, and Jaheim Bell. Like, you just thought, like, there's no DB room stopping these three, at least. And then just over the season, as you saw, the injuries just pile up with him, and he just could never get right. I think, I don't want to speculate what it was, but whatever it was, he just could never get it better. He could never get it back. And so he lost some of that speed, some of that breakaway, some of that dynamic shiftiness. But I'll never forget that catch against Wake Forest where he basically blew that dude up. You just saw that. I think he could be, if he's healthy and he gets into the draft, he'll be able to make a difference. Now, ESPN has him as an undrafted. They don't even have him ranked. So I'd be curious to see what teams take a flyer on him. We hate ESPN. They have a terrible mock draft.
Y'all don't know how to seed playoffs, and you don't know how to do a mock draft. then is Boo Corrigan in charge?
I think Boo's running this thing.
That must be Boo's mock draft. Old Boo. Boo. So the next one that I want to talk about here, man, this is one that I'm really, like you said, if you're a praying man, I'm really praying he gets an opportunity, and that's Jordan Travis.
Yes.
I have seen videos where he's able to throw again. Yes. You know, he's obviously not 100%, like moving, cutting, and things like that, but he's able to throw the ball, and I think that's important to be able to work out for teams and have the meetings. But both the services that I saw, and it's heartbreaking for Jordan because, look, I don't think Jordan was going to be taken, you know, really, really high to begin with. But I think his injury and the way the season ended did hurt his stock, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I'm still seeing projections from NFL.com at round 6, pick 185 to the Jets. Oh, please don't let that happen.
The Jets.
And then round 6, pick 185 also to the Cardinals from PFF, and they had the Jets trading the Cardinals trading to get that pick from the Jets. So, man, I like it. I think when you talk about Jordan in the NFL, I think you have to look at where he brings value. Yeah. You know, do I think he could develop into a starter someday? It might be a bit of a long shot. I'm certainly a believer in Jordan Travis. I'm never going to tell Jordan what he can't do because look at how far he came in his college career. But I think there's two really interesting aspects here. When you look at kind of the more modern era of the NFL, like they really are kind of starting to embrace the mobile quarterbacks a little bit more. So I think on the one hand, if you have an offense that's built around a Lamar Jackson, you know, a Bryce Young, a Kyler Murray in Arizona or something like that, I think you can take Jordan Travis as like a guy that you can put in. You don't have to change your offense. You know, if you go from one guy to another guy and he's not the same and you've built your offense for that guy, he gives you that option for those teams. I think on the other side of things, if you're just talking about getting an opportunity, how many guys do you know, like we hear about this in college all the time, it's really hard to prepare for guys like Jaden Daniels or guys like that. So I think if you get Jordan, you know, a lot of times you got to put like a receiver or a running back or something as your quarterback to kind of keep up with the speed of the quarterback. But if you get Jordan in there, even if it's on like a practice squad, and I hate to put that on him, or maybe like a second or third string guy, you can still give your defense looks. Like I still think you have that opportunity where he can run and throw at a level that can prepare you for those modern mobile quarterbacks. And so I think Jordan will find an opportunity one way or another. You know, whether it's a starter or a vital piece of the practice squad or an important backup, I still think he's going to get an opportunity because of who he is, how hard he works, and what he did his last 2 years. I think he's earned the right to make it on a roster.
Yeah. Now, I know we don't like ESPN. I know we don't like their mock drafts, but hang with me here. ESPN has Jordan Travis going 257 to the Jets. And if you know what pick 257 is, it's Mr. Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant, so, yep.
The last pick. Now, why is that? Why am I making a point about this? The last quarterback that was taken, Mr. Irrelevant, was a third stringer, chilling on the bench. Then the top two quarterbacks got hurt. He gets thrusted in, and they literally go to the Super Bowl. And he didn't get thrusted in with, like, two games to go before the playoffs. He didn't get thrusted in with six games to go. He got thrusted in at the beginning of the season. No one expected him. He's only making $800,000 a year, and that's Brock Purdy with San Francisco, right? That's it. Mr. Irrelevant. And he was one of the best quarterbacks last year of all the NFL.
Right.
And so if Jordan were to go this low, or if he goes higher, look, I've always believed that Jordan is an NFL quarterback. Is he an NFL starter? I'm not sure. But he's definitely an NFL caliber quarterback. You've seen his prototype work before. You've seen it in Colin Kaepernick. You've seen it in Lamar Jackson. You've seen it in C.J. Stroud for the Texans. You've seen it in Deshaun Watson. You've seen these prototypes.
His size and his injury prone.
That's the problem.
That is really what hurts him the most. But I think from a skill set, I think he's got what it takes.
Absolutely. Yes. His size and his injury, the potential of getting injury. Yes. That's always going to be a thing that scouts are going to worry about, that GMs are going to look at. That's what's going to hurt him. That's what's going to drop him. You know, obviously with this current injury, I thought going into the season and before that Northern Alabama game, he was probably somewhere around that fourth, the sixth round pick. That's what I thought. After he got injured, I thought he was undraftable. Now it looks like he's at least sneaking back into the draft.
Yeah.
So there's a likelihood that he's somewhere in that seventh round, or he's an undrafted free agent who gets picked up right after the seventh round is done.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I think he's going to have a chance to at least prove himself to be a backup quarterback and work his way into starter or on the practice squad. He is an NFL caliber quarterback. It's whether or not they will give him the chance to show some of that. I'm hoping for the best. I'm praying for him, man, because, you know, Jordan Travis, he deserves the best. That dude gave everything he's got.
No.
And I know it doesn't always work out, but if he gets the chance, I think he'll prove people wrong.
I hope so, man. And, you know, people talk about favorites of all time, and there's a lot of great Noles to choose from, and I know there's recency bias, but Jordan Travis is really, man, he's got to be, like, top 3 to 5 on my list of all-time favorites, just from him sticking around and believing in the program, and he loved this team and all that stuff. So you really want to see him get the opportunity. And, of course, you do have guys like Bryce Young and Tua that aren't the biggest quarterbacks.
That's right.
You know, the most conventional quarterback. So I think he'll find an opportunity, like you said. If not in the draft, I think it'll be an undrafted free agent that gets that immediate deal. Now, the next guy that I have two more here. So, Akeem Dent, I have with NFL.com, had him round 6, pick 220 to the Bucks. And, you know, he didn't go to the combine, so we didn't really get to see a big performance from him. But again, man, I just think when you look at the history, first off, with he's got a lot of experience. He played a lot of years at FSU. You could tell when he wasn't in on the defense. Yeah. He was a vital part of the defense. And then I think you just also have to look, anytime you have a DB from Florida State, you know, I mean, and this goes back to Renardo Green, something that I forgot to touch on when you were mentioning it. I mean, you look at two of the top five picks in the draft, or top 10 projected, are Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels. Well,
that's right.
Who put the clamps on Malik Nabers?
Better
than anybody all season. So, I just think when you look at the history of FSU DBs, I think you're going to get a look regardless, just because. I love Akeem getting an opportunity because, again, this is another homegrown guy, his turn, came up through the system, and it's now his opportunity to go shine in the league. Now, you know, he may go in a very lower round or even an undrafted free agent. But I think, you know, if he gets a chance to prove himself, he can make a roster.
Yeah. Again, this is another case of a really good player who is NFL quality, who may not, you know, get the look that he should get. But actually, I agree with you, because he's a DB, they're going to look at him. He's going to get a look. But he was the quarterback of the defense. I mean, we saw it when he wasn't in the game, when he wasn't playing. That's when we started to see teams drive up and down the field on on Florida State's defense. But when he was in there, man, I'll never forget. I'm still mad to this day that they called a flag on that hit against Florida. I mean, because that was a beautiful sack. I mean, it was a beautiful time blitz. He read it perfectly. He got the line on the right shift. I mean, it was just, you saw his intelligence, his football IQ, his power, his speed, his athleticism just come to display on that one play. Just that one play alone.
Yeah.
That was the Akeem Dent play.
He knocked their quarterback into the portal.
Yes, he did.
Because yes, Max Brown was like, I don't want no part of that.
Next year. I don't want to play that again. Yes, he did. And so I think he'll get a shot, whether it's, you know, where you had him drafted at 220. ESPN doesn't have him on there. Again, ESPN sucks. But I think he'll get a chance, and he'll show exactly why we love, why FSU DBs just really thrive in the NFL anyways.
Yeah, and I could probably see that undrafted free agent, but, you know, we'll see. And another one that kind of has around that area both, and that's Fabian Lovett. Now, NFL.com has him round 7, 228 to the Ravens. Now, PFF didn't have him at all, undrafted free agent. And you know, like, you just got to get your opportunity. I mean, you would want him to go in the draft. He's a veteran player.
Yep.
He was dominant at times. When you look at some of the stats of what Florida State was able to do against the run when he's in versus when he's out, he made a massive difference. I think you have some injury concerns there that obviously haunt somebody of that size, because you always worry about that. But, you know, I mean, even if you get on a roster, I feel like Fabian's a guy that can make enough of an impact that if you just give him the opportunity, he can play his way into a role, because I think he can be an impact guy. You know, it's just he might have to work his way up.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely see that. Yeah, ESPN has him at 178 going to the Steelers. Definitely that special teams, you know, punt block team. I think that's probably where he'll most likely get a lot of chance to get on the field early on, unless he just starts dominating in practices and they're like, oh, we got to get this guy in the rotation a little bit there. There were so many times where a run looked wide open and then you see this big body zero come into play and just completely shut it down. You know, he came back for another year, man. We were begging for him to come back. He did help that D line get better and just be dominant. So you just wish him luck. You just hope that somebody will give him a chance to prove, you know, why he is what he is. And he's a great dad too, by the way. I mean, I love seeing his kid at the game and I just wish the best for him.
I was just about to say that he is a family man, and that's why it was almost surprising that he came back for another year.
You know,
hopefully, obviously, NIL probably helped with that decision, but you want to see him go out and be able to support his family through the NFL. Right. That would be amazing. So we're cheering for him as well. And, you know, even like when you talk about Jordan, if he does become Mr. Irrelevant, like that would just, I would hate to see it. I mean, at least it's better than undrafted free agent, but that would be the most Jordan Travis-esque thing. Yep. You know, like you come from wanting to leave quarterback to, you know, then you finished fifth in the Heisman voting, even though you got hurt, to now you're Mr. Irrelevant, to hopefully maybe you can have an NFL career. But two other guys I want to touch on that both were listed as undrafted free agents are, you know, in that area that I think will get an opportunity is Kalen DeLoach and Tatum Bethune, the two linebackers. Now, I think when you look at Kalen, I mean, it's an athletic play here. The guy is a missile on the field.
Yep.
You know, that's a program guy. So you hopefully see him get an opportunity, even if it is as an undrafted free agent. Tatum Bethune, we know he dealt with some health issues there towards the end. He was playing really banged up, but man, he had a big game in the ACC championship. Man.
Big
He's
game.
Got a boatload of experience if you're looking for an experienced linebacker. So you're hoping to see these two guys get an opportunity, even if it does come in the undrafted free agent. We're starting out and then just working your way. And like you said, even if it has to come from a special teams or a practice squad and working your way up, as long as they get an opportunity, I think these guys had the work ethic to go out and earn their spot.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Mike Norvell loved them, because they're about the work. And in NFL, man, that's all you got is the work. And if you want to make anything of yourself, you're going to have to work really hard and prove yourself to those guys out there. And man, listen, Kalen DeLoach, he's got the sack, fumble, scoop and score of the decade. Like, I mean, who can forget that moment, right? That little sidewind blitz there against Caleb Kubnik and getting the ball from Fisk, who taps it to him and he gets to the end zone, changed the game. That we were losing. They were driving and we were losing. And so I just have a great appreciation for for Deloach. His dad was on Twitter. He's such a nice guy on Twitter.
I know. I love Rob. He's a great guy. Yeah,
Rob's a great guy. And then, of course, you know, Bethune. I mean, gosh, injured, knee not feeling great, you know, has a sack, then comes back and has a pick, you know, that really kind of helped really flip that ACC championship game on its head. And so, yeah, I think those guys, they're about the work. They'll get a chance, and they'll have to go prove it. But, man, hopefully they're able to do that.
Yeah, I'm definitely cheering for them. I mean, like you said, they all come from awesome families. But Kalen Deloach, you know, his dad has been very involved with the program. Yep. Rob's a great guy. He's got a very successful brother who plays basketball at Georgia. His sister is a track star.
That's right.
You know, he's a 912 guy. And as a guy from the 912, I'm cheering for the hometown crowd. So hopefully they get their opportunity. But, man, that you're looking at, based on the different projection models that we have here, anywhere from around 8 to 11 guys. And, again, man, I mean, Florida State hasn't had that many since we were competing for national championships. And so, again, I think it just speaks to the program, the talent level of where they're taking this thing, that if you have that many guys going to the league, the success follows on the field. It usually works in that direction. So, man, again, if you can go into living rooms in the upcoming years and say, look, guys, we put 8, 10, 11 guys in the league, that's going to be huge for them. I mean, that's going to be a big feather in the cap. And like we said, it's kind of the one thing left that they've kind of not had to sell, other than at the defensive end position. But yeah, man, I'm really excited to see just the whole draft take place, because again, like you said, we got potential first rounders all the way to seventh rounders, undrafted free agents. We're going to be glued to the TV for a few days.
That's right.
But man, I'm just really excited to get all these guys, see all these guys get their opportunity to pursue their dreams, because that's, man, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
And, you know, just proud of them as well. But, you know, Michael, speaking of the NFL, back to NFL light, which is college football, let's just touch on a couple of new rules as we get up out of here. So for Florida State will have to be dealing with a couple of new things this season that have been implemented, which let me rewind something real quick. First off, the NCAA, they suck just as much as ESPN.
Yeah.
Like, we'll admit that too. Michael, for the first time in probably my lifetime, they actually did something right.
They actually did.
They gave Reggie Bush back his Heisman. So
let's go.
It's about freaking time. So I just wanted to comment on that. It's nice to see, you know, apparently they only punish Florida State whenever they decide to wake up and do something. But yeah, so it was nice to see Reggie Bush get his Heisman back, especially with as crazy as college football is nowadays. I mean, come on. But the 2-minute warning is going to be a thing this year. And then also in helmet communications, we were talking a little bit before the show. I like both. You know, as far as the 2-minute warning goes, I don't really think it's going to make or break the game for you. I mean, the game was already shortened last year with the new clock rules. I feel like with the 2-minute warning, of course it can work against you, but I feel like there's going to be times where you're going to be really glad that you have that 2-minute warning. Yeah. You know, it's like you said, you just basically have to treat it like an extra timeout that you just can't really control when you use it. So that's going to be something to keep up with there. And then, of course, the helmet communications we think is going to be very beneficial, especially when you have a play calling head coach. Yeah. Like Mike Norvell. Now, the one question that we had was like, you know, how much more beneficial would it be if you had a guy in the box?
That's right.
You can kind of look at defenses as it's happening and kind of get those audibles in. But I'm sure they figured out a system to kind of relay what they're seeing from the box to Norvell and then get it in. It will cut off at the snap of the ball or the 15-second mark. So, man, I think what this is also going to do, too, is you're going to see this push the pace of offenses. And we know Mike Norvell likes to go fast when they can, when they're able to do that and they're all on the same page. But, like, you think about them Oregon offenses back in the day where it was like,
man,
you know, a snap every, like, 10 seconds. I think where that's going to help you is you're going to be able to get up to the line up. You know, we were talking about before the show, this is one of those things where you would see the team come up to the line up, stop, look at the sideline, get the read, and then call the audible. But now you're not going to have to look. You're going to be able to just relay the information in. So I think it's going to benefit those teams that go fast. You know, it's probably not going to help Iowa's offense a whole lot, but nothing will.
Nothing will.
You know, but yeah, man, I think these are two cool changes. I mean, helmet communications is, come on, it's 2024. What are we doing? It's about time. And the 2-minute warning, I mean, we're basically becoming the NFL with no, you know, free agent rules. So might as well throw in a 2-minute warning too.
That's right.
I'm sure the kickoff format's probably going to follow the NFL.
Oh, dude, I hope so. I love that kickoff format because it looks like it's a lot more safer and it looks like more exciting returns that can happen.
Right. I'm sure that's coming down the line.
I've missed the good NFL, like a good kickoff.
It's a waste. And I'll throw it to you on this, but I did see one where it was a funny video where it was a guy who's like a British guy who's watching football and he was trying to sum it up. And he's like, I don't know what this play is, but they kick the ball into the end zone and no one ever does anything. So I don't really understand why it exists. So yeah, I think you're right. It does at least put kickoff back into the action of the game. But yeah, man, two new exciting rules that I think are going to be beneficial.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the two minute warning is a money grab. Let's just be honest, because it gives college football the ability to go to more commercials. More commercial equals more money. So that's really what it is. But like I said in the pre-show, teams will just have to treat it like a timeout. Basically, if you treat it like a timeout, then as you're in the fourth quarter, whether you're behind or you're ahead, you start to map out, okay, how do I get this game to the finish? If I'm ahead, how do I get our team back into the game and winning? If I'm behind, and how does that 2 minute warning play in that? So that's really all it is. You're just trying to leverage it as a timeout. With the headset communication, I think it's great. It's been long overdue. I think it's going to speed up the game, at least speed up the offense a little bit more. The defensive coordinator will also have a headset into a player on the defensive side as well too. So again, it goes to that question of, if you have people in the box, they can tell you formation, they can tell you coverage, what they see, and that can help too. But you also have to leverage like how much you want to be in the ear of the communicator or in the ear of the quarterback or whoever the quarterback of the defense is as well.
Right.
And they'll figure that out. We can't hear any of it, so it won't really affect us. But
right.
That'll be an interesting thing.
Yeah, man. I think it's continuing to modernize the game. Yep. I think it's about time for some of these changes. And like you said, the 2 minute warning is probably just another commercial break, but it is what it is. So that's going to do it for us today, guys. Like I said, make sure you tune back in. We're going to be recording another episode Friday, and I got some stuff that I want to share about why I think Mike Norvell is the X factor. Like I said, you can send him into war with a pool noodle and he's going to come out on top, just because I'm a believer in him and I got some interesting numbers to back that up. If you've watched this far, like and subscribe to stay connected to Plant the Spear. And, you know, again, guys, just get ready for that NFL draft, man. I don't know about you, Michael, but, like, I'm going to go get some wings tomorrow night.
Yes,
and you know, maybe kind of sit down and make a little party out of it. We haven't had this in a few years.
We haven't had a fun time.
Exactly. So you got to live it up, man. But, yeah, just excited to see all these guys get their opportunities. And we look forward to catching you guys on the next episode. Make sure you check out plantthespear.com, where all of our stuff, you can find everything. And check out alumnihall.com to load up on some new FSU gear. Use code SPEAR to get 10%. Thank you guys so much for your support and for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next one. As always, go Noles.
Go Noles.